Thank you. Good morning, and welcome to worship at Hillcrest Baptist Church this morning. Those of you that are here in person, and I know we have many that are home today with weather and health issues, and so we welcome you that are worshiping with us at home as well. So let's get started, and let's sing about the glory of our Lord. Lord, be glorified. Let's stand and sing together.
Good morning, Hillcrest Baptist Church. It's good to be in the house of God this morning. Are you thankful for heat in your cars and heat in your homes? We will be by the end of the week, I'm sure of that. Just a few announcements. Wednesday night, as of right now, just stay tuned. If it's a flip of the coin with the weather forecasters, and if they get it right this time, then we may not have church on Wednesday night, so just stay tuned to your phones, and we will put an all call through the phone tree as to services on Wednesday night. If we do have service on Wednesday night, youth, we will be meeting in the fellowship hall, socially distanced and with masks on, but we will be meeting youth on Wednesday. And I don't know as to if I have any other announcements. Anyone? Well, it's good to be here this morning, and we want to greet each other, visitors. We're glad you're here and you chose Hillcrest Baptist Church. And home folk, we're glad you were able to come in this morning. And people on Facebook, we welcome you as well. And we want to stand up and we want to wave from afar.
Alex, I'm going to throw you a curve here. We're going to sing "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart First." Remember, Brother Jerry once asked us one time, do you remember how your life changed when Jesus came into your heart that very first time? And what life has been like afterwards? And what a glorious gift his salvation is in our lives? So, Alex, if you're ready, we're going to go ahead and think on these things as we sing "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart."
What a wonderful change in my life has been brought.
Just a closer walk with thee.
Satisfied.
Sorry about that.
She did this. Did y'all hear it creak? Sounded like my bones this morning when I got out of bed. We're going to start out in prayer. Amanda Dusenberry had neck surgery. She's on her way home from the hospital now, so we've been praying all morning that they'd be able to leave and not get caught in the snow coming this afternoon. Don Mann is going to start his radiation treatment tomorrow sometime or another if he can, and he's going to be Monday through Friday for 6 weeks. We need to pray that, number one, that he can take the treatments and they'll have safe travel coming back and forth, and it wouldn't hurt to encourage him by phone call or note. And also, we have some people that have had to shut down their business because of the COVID for 10 days, and they're really concerned about that. So if you would, pray for those that are hurting because of this pandemic that we're experiencing. And others are facing health tests. And then we have a few that are facing financial issues and also marital problems. So let's go to the Lord and pray together. Father Almighty, what an awesome God you are. You're King of Kings, Lord. There is no other living God but you. We sure praise you. We sure love you. We're here today, Father, to worship you. Father, I pray that we feel the very presence of God with us right now. Lord, that you would encourage us and love us and bless us. And Father, forgive us of our sins. I pray, Lord, that as we open up your word, that you give us your very thoughts. what a privilege it is to be a child of God. I do thank you, Lord, that as you save us, you change us, you instruct us, you guide our feet, you give us direction in everything that we do. And Lord, you forgive us those times that we sin. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You never quit loving us. So we praise you, God, for that. I thank you for this church, for the blessings that you've poured out on our church. Help us, Lord, to continue to serve you and to do the things, Lord, that you put before us. Help us to be faithful, committed, surrendered to you. I pray, Lord, for those around our community, Lord, that if they're looking for a place to worship, we would be attractive to them. I do pray, Father, for those that are recovering from surgery. I pray for Amanda, Lord, as she recovers. I pray, Lord, that you give her healing and grace. I pray, Lord, for those that have had to close down their businesses due to the COVID, Lord, that you would continue to supply their very needs. You would take the burden of worry off their shoulders. Encourage them, Lord, love them. I do lift up Don and Sandy as they travel, if they're able to travel tomorrow to Nova, Lord, that you would help Don take these treatments and get rid of that cancer. Father, as we look at your word, I pray for your wisdom. I pray that you pierce our hearts, Lord, with thoughts straight from God. I thank you, Lord, for the willingness to change things this morning, and how people stepped up to help. What a blessing it is, Lord, to have people say, yes, I'll do it. We love you and praise you, Lord, and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I got a text real early from Wayne. The whole Beerley family is at home sick. Wayne was supposed to have the special today. That's the reason we had to kind of skimp around, and Claudia was so graceful to say yes. I started out asking her, I said, if you were going to sing a special this morning, what song would you sing? And she told me, I said, good. She volunteered. And Bobby, the same way, Bobby Kale, this morning, the first service, I asked him when we had our prayer time in the office, Bobby, if you were able to sing today, what song was your favorite that you'd sing today? And he said, Just a Little Walk with Jesus. I said, great. And I'd forgotten I picked out that song for this morning. So we had to rearrange some everything. It was kind of hard getting to this point, but God is so good to us, and I'm very thankful for our church and the ones that have asked to do something. And Kathy, thank you for stepping up and leading, and always Vivian and Tamara. Yeah, she was here. So anyways, thank you guys. Before we get started, we got a few minutes. Today's Valentine's. I love Valentine's. I love the Valentine banquet that we didn't have. I missed it. It always allows me to wear this. So I decide, well, I'm going to wear this today. I don't care if you think I need to suit on, so be it. Get over it. But what we're going to do is I'll give you a chance. If you want to thank the Lord for somebody special in your life, then that'll be the time. That requires your mouth going like that. So, David, have you got something you'd like to thank the Lord about? You do have a good family. Do you guys feel the same way about him? Never mind. Anybody else? Yeah. Amen. Joe Creek had one of the greatest wives a person could have. I think I'm the only one who had the better wife. He had a wonderful wife. We sure did love Nancy. Anybody else? Thank you, Don. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Did you hear that, Nora? Okay, write it down. Take it. Anybody else? Thank you, Mike. Amen. Yeah. You know, a couple years ago, I gave Rhonda some windshield wipers for Valentine, and she didn't appreciate that. And we've had a lot of fun with it since then. And I really thought about getting her some windshield wipers this year just to keep it going, but I went out this week and went to Kroger's, and they had buy one, get one, or half price candy, the good stuff. So I thought, well, I'll get that for her. So we went to Publix yesterday. I'd already bought this, by the way. And we went to Publix yesterday, and they had the same candy on sale, Russell Stover, for buy one, get one free. She said, why don't you get this for me for Valentine? I said, nobody wants that junk. No, and I tried to get her away from there. She kept going back and forth. Finally, I got her away from there, and I had to end up going to Lowe's and get her some orchids and some other things. It cost me a fortune just to get her away from that $5 gift. But so this morning, I gave her a card and the candy that she wanted. And I'm the best husband. Happy Valentine, church. Your healthy Valentine to you, Leah. I saw her give her daddy a look like I got you wrapped around my little finger. Yeah. All righty. We're going to look at God's Word. We're going to get serious. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. Boy, there's a lot of thought went in this message. It may not sound like it to you, but boy, did God ever get hold of my heart about this stuff. And this morning, I think I've had one of the sweetest quiet times that I've had in a long time, and it wasn't necessarily about Genesis chapter 1, but it was about the love of God and what He means to us and what we mean to Him. So let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 31, and let me share a few thoughts with you afterwards. Starting in verse 26, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. The Bible says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and morning were the sixth day. The title of this message is, What Does It Mean to Be Created in God's Image? So before we even get started, I want you to start thinking about, what does it mean to you to be created in God's image? Now, I'm looking around and I see you guys, and I want you to look at me as well, and let's think about that together. What does it mean to be created in the image of God? I had to set down my whole pencil on this and think about that for a long time. What does it mean to Jerry to be created in the image of God? I know what the Bible says, but I'm talking about, what does it mean to you in your heart to be the image of God? I read these couple stories of an art teacher teaching an art class. He asked the question, and it had to do with Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Have you ever written a creative story or created a piece of artwork that is born out of a memory or a feeling? If so, you know that what it feels like to create something, and you're proud of, and as you look at it, it reflects who you are. Just as a sculptor creates an award-winning sculpture that reflects who he or she is as an artist, we were created as the crowning glory of God's creation, and we reflect him as an artist and as a worker. The climax of creation, or the creation account told in Genesis 1, is the creation of humankind, male and female, who are made in the image of God. I thought that was pretty interesting, a teacher teaching a class about God being the creator. Someone else wrote this about Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 31. He said, it describes the beginning of human beings, the most unique of all God's creations. As with other aspects of creation, the creation account, very few details are given. The information we are given, however, is unmistakable. Man is uniquely created in the image of God, invested with authority over the earth and commanded to reproduce. These points each establish critical aspects of the Christian worldview and our testimony and the proper attitude towards humanity. So as we think about those and we look at Scripture, I want you to remember who the writer of Genesis is and who gave that writer the message. The Bible is not about to try to prove who God is. The Bible tells us things about God, reveals God to us. God feels no need to prove himself. He created it all, and he knows it. So throughout the Bible, Genesis through Revelation, he teaches us things about himself. He reveals things, thus the thought process. What do we think about being created in God's image, knowing that from this part to this part, God is telling us all about who he is and what he's like and what he expects from us? So I wrote down a couple things that God has revealed to us, and this is just a few things. God has revealed oodles and oodles of things to us, you know that. Let me give you four or five things, and as I do, I want you to think about your image that you're created in and your lifestyle and the things that you do or you don't do. Things we know about God that he reveals himself. God knows and sees all things. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He sees all. He created all things, including the human race. These are God-revealed things to us. God loves people, and he hates sin. God decides the dates of our life, the beginning and the end. We decide where we go, where we end up. God is not a thing. He's a spirit. He's a living being. God explains all this throughout the Bible to us. And the more we learn about God, the better we learn and know about ourselves. What I mean by that is, as God reveals things to us, we have a work list of characteristics, and we pattern our life after God, or we don't. If you don't, that tells you something about yourself. If you do, that tells you who you are and how you act. This list goes on and on and on, and I share these because the Bible says we're made in His image. So have you ever wondered why you were created? Why me, Lord? In fact, I think Job asked that, why? Why was I born, Lord? Have you ever wondered that? Why was I created on this earth? And remember what happened when Adam was walking in that cool, perfect garden, and God, the Bible says, walked with him? We were created to have a relationship with the Lord. Oh man, I had to put it down. I had to pray about this. I had to look inwardly. I was created to have a relationship with the Lord. You were created to have a relationship with the Lord. That was the number one thing that God created us for, to have a relationship with Him. Go back all the way when there wasn't Adam and Eve. There wasn't anything. And God started creating. And then He creates man and woman so that He could walk on this earth with us. Remember, the garden was perfect. Secondly, according to the verses we've read, that He created us to be caretakers of this earth. I had to put the pencil down. Think about this one. To be a caretaker for God. To do the things that He's required me to do to take care of this earth. Think about how important that is for us to care for God's creation. Remember Jesus telling the parable that He planted a vineyard and hired a vine dresser to take care of that vineyard, and the vineyard got selfish. So when the crops came, the owner of the vineyard came back to share in the profits, and the vine dresser decided he wanted all the profits and turned the owner away. And this happened over and over and over, and finally the vine dressers, the caretakers, killed the owner of the vineyard, which represents the Lord Jesus Christ. God has planted a vineyard here on earth, and you and I are the caretakers. And we're to take care of this for Him. It's not our earth. It's not our vineyard. It's God's. He created us also to bear witness to God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So three things: relationship with God, to be a caretaker, and to be a witness for Him. Three important things of why you were created. So let's start with all that in mind. Look at verse 26, and let's kind of pick it apart a minute. Verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. The first thing that you notice in verse 26, the Bible says God created us. He made us. Now hear what I have to say about this. We did not evolve. We're not the product of evolution. Amen. You did not evolve from a monkey. Yeah, we may act like monkeys, but you did not evolve from a monkey. God created us, and not by accident. Some people believe in the Big Bang Theory, where two masses hit together, and lo and behold, the epiglottis was formed. Those little vein valves in our veins that control our blood passage were formed because of, not so. God wants us to know that He created us. And I think sometimes we forget about who created us. And He created us on the sixth day until the end of the earth. Now keep going. God said, let us make them in our image. Let us make man and woman in our image. Who is the us? There's at least three different thoughts of this. First, some people think that God and angels are the us that created us. Well, if you read in the Bible, you never see where angels created anything. They were created themselves to serve God and to be His messengers. Never, ever created anything. So I don't think you could buy into that one. Then some people said it was just God being plural. Well, that's a bunch of stuff. Third, which I buy into, is the us is the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, when you amen that, be careful, because we have been created in His image, God's image, the Son's image, the Holy Spirit's image. So let's go back to some of those characteristics that God has revealed about Himself as He's created us in His image, and He's also revealed Himself throughout the Bible to us. And we're talked about God loves people and hates sin. That's one of the characteristics of God. Do we love people and hate sin? I see some shaking your head, but the truth of the matter is we don't love everybody like we ought to. This past week, there was a lot of shenanigans going on with our leadership of this country, almost to the point of man hating man hating woman, woman hating man in Congress because of stuff that's been done in the last several years, months. You think they looked at each other and loved each other? Some of them call themselves Christians. They were made in God's creation. In fact, every single one of them was made in God's creation. This is why I ask you, what does it mean to be made in God's creation? Man, I had to put my pencil down again or my pen down and get on my knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry. We have God revealed to us throughout Scripture, yet we lead our life like some of those politicians did this week. Do you love everybody like God loves you? Are you a sinner? Were you a sinner before you got saved? Did God love you? Did He give His only Son so that you could have eternal life? We're made in God's image. Do we hate sin like He hates sin? We determine that God knows everything. We're created in God's image. Do we live like He knows every single thing about us? Do we try to hide things from Him? Now be honest. This is a pick-me-up sermon, but it's also a hit-me-between-the-eyes sermon. How often do we try to hide something from God? Well, maybe we don't really hide it from Him. We just act like He doesn't see it. The Bible tells us that God is love. Is everything about me love? Do I react according to love? Do I live according to love? Do I make decisions according to love? Again, I had to put the pencil down and think about this one a while. Boy, it's like looking in a mirror. And you know what you're supposed to see. You're supposed to see somebody created in God's image in that mirror. But when you look into it, you see something not quite the way it ought to be. And so I'm thinking all this through. You know how my mind works. I'm thinking it's really easy to love somebody that's good to me, that is nice to me. David, you and I've had this conversation before, how easy it is to love somebody, a boss that doesn't treat us very well. We're created in God's image. He's love. Shouldn't we be love, no matter what? God was scourged, beaten, but yet He still loved those people that were slinging the whip. So it's easy to love somebody that loves you and cares for you and provides for you, but what about when somebody lies to you or cheats you or comes over to your house and does repair work and they think they got it fixed, but they don't? just different things. Do we treat them with love? Well, sometimes we do. But I got a daughter. This is how deep I went with this thinking. I got a daughter. She's in her 40s now, but you know, she started out a baby. I love that baby. I love to hold her. I hold, you know, she had colic. And I don't sleep at night, so I would hold her from 11 o'clock at night to 4 o'clock in the morning. This went on for 6 solid weeks. As she cried, I'd hold her and just pat her. And I mean, she squealed. It was loud, right in my ear as I'm holding her. But I loved her. That was my little girl. Anybody ever had a girl before? They never cease being your little girl. She's still my little girl. What would happen if somebody raped her? Would I love that person? I've been made in the image of God. Yuck. We don't like to think about that one, do we? Did Jesus die for that rapist? For the sin of that rapist? You know, I used to be a Gideon, and I'd go to the jailhouse every week, and I'd witness to the inmates. So I got to think about them. What were they in jail for? Some of them for robbing, gunpoint robbing. I mean, you know, just different things they were in jail for, abusing their children. I mean, all sorts of things. Did I go to that jail to witness to them about the Lord Jesus with love in my heart? Looking in that mirror now, I'm not seeing somebody that can say yes to that. The Bible says God is pure. You're created in His image. Are you pure in thoughts? There are a lot of stuff on TV that we watch that's not quite pure looking. Pure, we see with our eyes, we feel with our heart, we know we're not supposed to look at some of that stuff. In fact, if you're feeling that it's wrong, you ought to turn it off. Change channels. Are we pure? We've been made in the image of God. So many images that God has revealed to us about Himself. That's who we're created in the image of. Keep on going to verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. As we think about man and woman being created, remember the garden. When they were created, was there any sin on this earth? They were created in perfectness. And then we know that sin came and they fell. So now we've been told we've been created in God's image, but now aren't we a distorted image of God because of that sin? And yes, we are. But let me ask you this. You couldn't help being born in that sin, could you? All of sin, the Bible says, and fall short of the glory of God. Did God ever quit loving you because of your sin? No. So, Don, that's a yee-haw moment. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yee-haw that He looked at this old sinner and did not quit loving me. And I've shared with you over the years some of my testimony, and it wasn't lovable. Nobody, the good people didn't want to be around me. But God never gave up on me. So yeah, we were created in His image, but then something happened called sin. As God created us in that perfect image, our image became distorted. But here's the deal. You still have tremendous worth to God. No matter, you couldn't help that original sin. You had nothing to do with Adam and Eve. You can't help it if you're born in sin. But yet God still died on that cross for us that distort His image. So I'm looking at this now, I'm feeling pretty good. I like that thought, because all of us are in that same boat together, aren't we? So how do you take care of that distortion, that image that's not perfect anymore? Doesn't the Bible tell us in John chapter 3 something about you must be born again? You get a new heart. You become a new creation in Christ. And as you become a new creation in Christ, you begin to put on what Paul would call the new man. And these are images of God that's been revealed to us through the Word of God, through Paul and through other authors, that black and white issues, that because we have a new heart, we become like that. And God gives us an ability to be more like Him when we get that new heart. Before I get to that new heart, I want to share one more thought out of Genesis chapter 1. Look at verse 31. Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed the Bible says it was very good. And God knew that sin was coming, yet He still looks at us, sinful or not, new heart or not, and His creation is still very good. Thank you, God.
Amen.
Yes. So I want you to run over to Colossians chapter 3. And God reveals things to us. They're His attributes that He gives us when we get that new heart. Whether it's you're 10 years old to get saved, or you're 30 years old, or 60 years old, this is the changed person because of Christ. So I'm going to read it, and as I read it, I want you to figure in your mind a checkoff list. You either are or you're not. You're a work in progress. You're either doing it all or you're not doing some of it. So you just listen, and then we'll discuss it a little bit. Starting in verse 12, Colossians 3, verse 12. I'm going to read through 17. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do as well. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Boy, was that ever a mouthful. There was so much of that God had just revealed to us about His character and the character that He puts in our life through the new heart. So again, a checkoff list. I'm going to just read a couple of these, and you do on your checklist, yes, I do that, no, I don't. And there's no gray area here. Either do or you don't. The Bible starts out, verse 12, you're the elect of God. He called you to Him. John 6:44 tells us nobody comes to the Father, to Jesus, unless the Father draws us. We are the elect of God. Praise God for that. He has chosen us. And as He chooses us, we become in His eyes holy and beloved. And we put on these things, tender mercies, checklist. Do you have a tender heart? Do you look at others with a tender heart? Spouses, do you look at your spouse with a tender heart as you make decisions? Children, do you look at your children with a tender heart? Do you come to church and look at your church family with a tender heart? I'm talking about a tender, loving heart from God, the same heart that Jesus has, the tenderness that He looked at us and gave us eternal life. Have you got a tender heart? You know, it's hard for a man to admit to be tender. What about kindness? I was talking with Rhonda this morning. And we've been dating and married for 51 years. That's hard to believe when I'm just 39 years old. But, out of that 51 years, I was not always kind to Rhonda. After I got a new heart from Jesus, I was not always kind. So my checkoff list, sometimes it's yes, I did this, sometimes no. Are you kind to your spouse? If you were to ask my children if Dad was kind, I don't know what answer they'd give you. And say, growing up, man, I ruled the roost. I was the rooster of the house. They did what I said do, or else. Sometimes that wasn't a very kind heart. Lord, forgive me. What about humility? Do we have a humble heart? Are we willing to serve others instead of us being served? Remember Jesus, you know, we just went over this, I think, last week about the servant's heart, or the week before, Jesus washed their feet. Do we have that kind of humility? Meekness, are you meek? This could apply to man and woman about the feeling of, no, I'm not very meek. But that's one of the characteristics of God. We've been made in His image. We ought to be meek. Meek is not necessarily being weak. In fact, it's hard to be meek. You're speaking from a man's point of view. It takes a real man to be meek. It takes a real woman to be meek. Long-suffering. Oh, X that one. Patient. How are you on being patient and the long-suffering? Remember your sinful life before you were saved. Do you think Jesus ever gave up on His long-suffering for you? Not one second. Genesis 1:26 tells us we were made in His image. There ought to be some long-suffering in our life because we are made in His image, and we get the new heart, then we start acting like the Lord Jesus. We ought to be patient. Verse 13, bearing with one another. We ought to be able to bear each other's griefs together, bear each other's joys together. Don, you thank the Lord for your family here. That's what a family of God does. We become a family. We bear with each other the yuck of life or the greatness of life. Uh-oh, here comes one. And we forgive one another. I can't tell you, Brother Rick, you know about this more than I do, how many churches fight and bicker and don't ever forgive each other. And then they just grow further and further apart. Finally, that church sometimes just closes the doors because of unforgiveness. In fact, Matthew tells us that we cannot have a relationship with the Father unless we forgive one another. He's not talking about salvation. He's talking about just a relationship, a walk with Him, because we are made in the image of God, and He forgave all of us our sin if we ask. And we, in turn, are supposed to forgive one another. So let's go back to that rapist a minute. I don't have to tell you how much I love my daughter. But if she were raped, what do I have to do with that rapist, according to God's word? Yeah. Do I have to like it? No. Do I have to put up with it? No. But I have to have a forgiving heart. In God's eye, sin is sin. He forgives us. We're made in His likeness, His image. Even as Christ forgave you, so you almost must do. Verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. God is love. We're made in His image. We cover ourselves in love. We become love. We become like Christ. and then we love each other. And I guarantee you, you go to Walmart or someplace like that, and here lately, they have felt the COVID. And you go in there and show them love. What happens to those people when you show them love? They respond. They feel so good when you show them the love of God. But on the flip side, they had a bad day. They can't pay their bills. The electric bill's coming up. And woe me. Well, how am I going to pay for that? And they got all sorts of worries, and they're having the same problems that you and I have. They got a teenager that doesn't do what we think a teenager ought to do, and they're pushing us to their limits, and they're just worried sick, yet they're checking out our groceries, and then we've had a bad day, and we go in there, and we bite their head off. How does that make them feel? Do they see the image of God in us? The other day, I don't know why I even drive. I was not paying attention. And if you know me, I don't really like to look straight when I'm driving. I like to look and see what's going on over there and over there, and that's what I was doing. And I was in the wrong lane to turn. I wasn't turning. I wasn't making the right turn on red. And guess what the person behind me did on that horn? I couldn't change anything. I was stuck in that lane. I sure wasn't going to go right when I was supposed to be going straight anyways to go home. But I didn't do anything back to them. I wanted to show them that no matter what they did, I was sorry. And I went, I'm sorry. That made it worse. But they saw a love reaction instead of in something else. Verse 15 talks about the peace of God. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, from which you were called one body, and be thankful. Oh man, put that pencil down for a minute. Let's think about this peace of God. The peace of God is one of the most important things that God has given a Christian. We can handle anything that comes our way if we have the peace of God in our hearts. We can overcome any problem in our lives if we have the peace of the true peace of God. We've been made in His image. We've been given His characteristics. We've been given that new heart. And He gives us love, peace, and joy in our hearts. And if we have that peace, then that peace covers everything in our life that's going on. And it's so great to have the peace of God in our life. So here's that checkoff list. How often do I have the peace of God? And I ought to have it all the time. I don't have to be worried with circumstances of this life. That's God's problem. So let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's God's word. That's one of the characteristics of God. That's one of the things that He gives us with that new heart. You are made in the image of God. That includes the peace of God. And be thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. I had to put that pen down again. You know, every one of these things, I had to put the pen down and pray over them and think about them. God must have been just talking to Jerry. Because surely none of you guys had to discuss that with the Lord. But after I got done with these, even though it's like He shot arrows through my heart. You know, He always called me boy. Boy, you know better. After, I didn't tell you what I felt, chastised. After I got over this, I felt so good. Like the peace of God was overwhelming me because I admitted, confessed it, got over it. Oh, let me kind of tell you four or five things that happen to us as we're made in the image of God. We are acceptable to God. with that new heart. That's a biggie. How many people think, oh, God couldn't love me, He couldn't forgive me, I've done so many bad things? You are acceptable to God when He saves you. You revert back to that called, elected by God, the holy and the righteous. Number two, as we get right with God, each one of us has great value. Man, I'm looking around. I'm seeing a treasury of jewels. You have great value in God's eyes. He made you in His image. He's seeing God. You have been created in God for God's purpose. You are a caretaker for this earth. Remember back in the 70s, anybody remember Tennessee Trash, the commercial? There was this man in an old junky car, and he'd be going down the road and be eating a Burger King or something. He'd throw the trash out in the road, and you saw the picture of Tennessee highways. They're just scattered with trash. Our purpose is to be a caretaker of God's creation. Remember, they put that commercial on because that's what we used to do. You never put the trash in your car. If you got done with eating something, you just throw it out in the grass, in the median. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about because you weren't around back then, but that's the way in the 50s and 60s. Nobody thought about the garbage on the side of the road. We just flipped it out. Now we had Tennessee Trash to remind you guys not to do that. And over the period of time, we've learned that's not the right way to take care of God's thing. But think about all the gas resource and all that other resources that we don't take care of. We have been given God's purpose, and one of those purposes is to take care of God's earth. We argue and argue and argue about all sorts of solar power and this and that and this and that. But the truth is, we can't agree on anything, but God has given us a purpose to take care of this place. God intends for us to find our greatest satisfaction and our joy in Him. So as He looks at us, where do you get your greatest satisfaction from? God's looking to you to make sure that you get your satisfaction from Him. You've been made in His image. You've been taught who He is and what He's all about. The greatest thing, Adam found this out, when we have been created in the likeness of God is because He wanted a personal relationship with us. Thank you, God, for wanting something to do with me. What a joy it is to look in that mirror going through all this checkoff list and, yeah, I did that. No, I didn't do that. No. And then at the end, I realize that God wants a relationship with me. He wants a relationship with you. Amen. Well, let me finish with this story. Well, how'd you pronounce that? Lecrae? I read this story and I thought it sounded good, and I knew I was going to pronounce this name wrong, so somebody told me I pronounced it wrong. His name is Lecrae, an American Christian rapper, songwriter, record producer, and actor. He is the president, co-owner, and co-founder of the independent record label Reach Records and the co-founder and president of nonprofit organization Reach Life Ministries. He was at a conference appearance, and Lecrae, now I've lost my place, told the story of a recent trip to Hollywood during which he stopped into a department store to buy a t-shirt. He just wanted a plain old t-shirt. Didn't want anything fancy, no sparkles, no diamonds, no studs, no nothing. So he gets there and finds one t-shirt and looked at the price. And he was astounded at the price of it. So he looked at the next one, figuring that was mismarked, and went to the next one. It's marked the same way. And t-shirt was $640 for just a regular white t-shirt. So he took it up to the checkout person and said, surely this is a mistake. And that checkout person said, nope, that's the cost. He said, well, I'm not expecting to be healed when I wear this shirt. I'm not expecting a great miracle just to buy this shirt. She said, you're not paying for the shirt. You're paying for the name written on that shirt, the designer of that shirt. So Lecrae used this as an illustration in one of his meetings that people look at us and they see us with a designer's label, with a name written on our shirts. And that name is Jesus Christ. And we're worth far more than $640. He uses this and says the application, do you know how valuable you are because whose name's on your life? So I put my pen down as I'm thinking about that. And I'm thinking about you guys. I told this at the first service, I'll tell you guys, Ron and I went to Publix yesterday and then Lowe's to get those orchids. So then we looked at zinnias and she wanted some zinnias. The pictures are gorgeous flowers. Then she wanted some peonies. Some of you pronounce that different, I don't know, but I call them peonies. And they're on the box, they're just so pretty. They're gorgeous. So we started not only the orchids, you know how that goes. Yes, yes, dear. Yes, yes, yes. We ended up with a bunch of flowers. We're going to plant those flowers. I know what's going to happen. They're not going to come up, but we're going to plant them anyways. But it got me to thinking about you guys. And what I see every single time you guys sit in the pews. And then what God sees. He sees the most beautiful flowers in these pews. He sees some zinnias, some peonies, some rose bushes. He sees some of those gladiolus, whatever. He sees some of those that I can't even pronounce. And what he does see is pretty flowers because you've been made in his image. He sees beautiful people. No matter what circumstances surround you, he sees beautiful people. And when I get in front of you, that's what I see. Beautiful people. You're so easy to love. Well, most of you. All of you. I want you to leave today knowing that God loves you, no matter what. He created you, and he created you in his image, both man and woman. He created you in his image so that he could have a relationship with you. And as he walks with you, he also gives you purpose. And he does expect us to accomplish his purpose, but it's all because he loves us. So let me ask you this and I'll quit. Have you ever known a time when God ever left you or forsook you? Not even in the worst of your life did he ever forsake you. Because he loved you. He created you. He never intended for sin to happen, but it did. And he loved you enough to send his son to die for your sins so that you could invite him into your life. And get that new heart and that place prepared for you in heaven just by Jesus. So I'm going to give an invitation. The invitation is this. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as we start to sing, come on down here and let me share with you how to get the Lord in your heart. But I want everybody else that does know Jesus to reflect on your life, to realize that you are made in his image. And that's a good thing. A very good thing. And all the circumstances that goes on in our world, our little world, our big world, that's God's problems. Our problem is to enjoy that relationship with him and have the joy and the peace and the love that he offers. So reflect on that during this invitation. The peace that he offers, it's available to all of us. The love is available for all of us. The joy is available to all that want it. And that's coming from the Lord. That's His gift to us. So let's stand. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, come on down and I'll pray with you. I'll tell you how. But my family, I want you to realize how valuable you are to God. And as we have this invitation, why don't you thank the Lord for allowing you to be valuable to Him? Let's pray. Almighty Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, of meeting today to be guided through the Word of God, to know, Father, that you created each one of us. You're our Lord. You're our Savior. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. I do pray, Lord, that if there's anybody that does not have Jesus in their heart, today would be the day that they gave their life to you. The rest of us, Father, help us to reflect on the goodness and the love of God. Father, help some of us to rededicate our life to you, to get right with you, to look at that checkoff list and make sure, Lord, that we've got more checks in the good part than the bad. We do love you and praise you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing just a couple verses of Amazing Grace. So you think, you sing, you pray, and do what God puts on your heart. I'll be up here if you need to pray. I sure would love to pray with you. Father God, we love you. We came to worship you. I do pray, Lord, for each one as they leave, that they just know without a doubt that they've been in the presence of God. Bless them, Father. Give them a good day today, a good night tonight. I pray for each one as we go to bed, Father, that we lay our heads on our pillows and get a good night's rest. We wake up in the morning ready to serve you. Protect us, Lord. Give us traveling mercies on the way home. In Jesus' name, amen.